through Colossians chapter 3. This is session 2, which covers verses 5 through 11, and this one is called Put Sin to Death. Put Sin to Death. So let's read that passage, starting with Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What is earthly in you? And here's a list: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. In this session and the session for next week are packaged all the aspects of sin common to man. The sins are listed as behaviors, and the attitudes which accompany them are also listed. And God, in his completeness and mercy, also lists the solutions. These are the new self, which we are told to put on, and Christ, who is all and in all. This letter, of course, is written by the Holy Spirit through the hand of Paul to the church. For believers, the putting on of the new self requires active participation with the energizing and motivating power of the Holy Spirit in and through Christ, who dwells in us. We participate in that by willfully putting on the new self. So verse 5 tells us a list of specific behaviors which are prohibited in God's economy. They are sin. Verse 8 gives us a list of attitudes which manifest in our daily walk by how we communicate verbally and non-verbally with each other and the world we live in. Do not deceive each other that you are holy and righteous of yourself. Indeed, you are directed to put off the self and put on the righteousness that Christ provides for you. It's his righteousness that is in you, and not your own. This is not your work. He does it. Your will surrenders to it. Your surrender to him results in knowing him more deeply, as well as the transformation of your life into his image, his pattern of life. And now we certainly know that immorality, impurity, etc. are to be avoided, but let's explore more deeply into what verse 5 calls what is earthly in us. What is earthly is certainly not heavenly. What might be earthly in you may differ from your fellow believers. These are specific to your individual nature and character, and they constitute sin as well. For example, one of these may be materialism. Do you constantly find yourself wanting more and more of what you don't need? Do you define yourself and your worth in what you have rather than who you are? Do you always want more stuff to be recognized by your family or friends? A materialist presents himself to the world to be noticed and recognized for what he has rather than who he is in Christ. What about greed and envy? Do you want an abundance of stuff so that you can appear better or higher than others? Do you want this so bad that you're tempted to the point you might take what is theirs? This is envy, which can overwhelm you. When I take more than I need, depriving someone else of what they need, this is greed. Those with materialistic greed are never satisfied, even if they have everything they want. These folks never know the full blessing of contentment and peace with God until they give up greed and materialism. They must put off the old man and put on the new. A close second in this category of what is earthly in you is pride. These folks think better of themselves than they should. They fail to see themselves as God sees them. They have activities, achievements, and responsibilities they would like for you to know about. They may ask you how you are and then lapse into a long dialogue about the special things they are doing. In the church, they may be telling you in a sincere way what God is doing through them to benefit the kingdom. However, the tone of voice and choice of words tells you they think much of themselves and little of you. They come across as much more interested in promoting their personal reputations than they are in glorifying Christ. Indeed, they may forget to give God the credit at all. Now, the final group I'd like to consider are similar to those who pursue pride and reputation. They are those who crave power, control, and an esteemed reputation. They are pleased when you thank them for their achievements and call them sir. Again, as in all these examples of what is earthly in us, we must always remind ourselves of who we live for. Of course, Christ is all and in all. So, Father, remind us all, remind me, remind everyone listening, that you are the important one. I am not. We are not. You are the important one. You live your life through us. We are instruments in your hand. We should not be prideful or selfish or envious of anyone else. We should only be dedicated to serving you and putting you number one in every circumstance. It's hard to do, but you can help us do it. And I ask that in Jesus' name.